This is the audio recording for the Candia Community Power Committee meeting for January 12th, 2023.
Is there a motion to open the public hearing?
I will motion to open the public hearing.
I'll second it.
All right.
And it is 6:38.
6:38. I declare it open.
Perfect.
So, Kevin, would you like to introduce the committee? Or shall I start my slides and you can jump in when...
I'll be happy to introduce the committee. So we've opened the public hearing of the Candia Community Power Committee. Board members are Beth Chalbeck,
Bill Saffy,
Ryan Young, Kevin Coughlin. Emily Manns is presenting from Standard Power via Zoom due to the weather. And two members are absent. And Emily, if you would like to proceed with your presentation, that'd be great.
Two members are absent? Brenda and Dick.
Yeah.
What about Dick?
So in attendance is Dan Roy. He is from Raymond, actually, and they're interested in developing a community power plan as well. But they're a year away, so he's getting homework done so he can present it at deliberative session to create a committee. So hopefully this will be helpful to you.
So I'll share my screen then.
Can you see?
Oh, we've got choices.
Is there any kind of glare or anything for you?
No. All right, so can you see my slides?
Yes, if you want to make it be... in display mode so that the left-hand bar isn't there, I think that might be easier.
Yeah.
Like that. Thank you.
How's that?
Perfect.
Okay. So, you guys have heard this a couple of times, but I think it's worthwhile to go through for the committee and to take 10 minutes to see if there are other questions you might have as a committee, and then for people who might listen in later for the public hearing.
Correct.
So this is the second public hearing for the town of Candia, Community Power. I am Emily Manns, and I'm with Standard Power, and we have been engaged by the town to help the town and committee through the community power planning process, preparation of a plan. So the committee was appointed by the Board of Selectmen in May of 2022. There are six community members, and the committee meets has public meetings on the second Thursday of each month at the town hall. The Candia Community Power Committee's mission that they chose to follow was the committee was created with the goal of investigating the feasibility of developing and implementing a new and innovative program to buy electricity at group rates, desired result being the lowering of electricity costs for all participating town residents. And to that, I'd add that we've had a lot of conversations about providing additional choices with higher renewable energy for the residents and small businesses of Candia. So, what is community power? It is where the municipality purchases electricity supply for residents and small businesses. The goals are cost savings and more renewable energy, but the delivery, emergency services, and billing all stay with the utility. So there are two main reasons that community power are popular. The first is cost savings, and we really do this through market timing and buying power. The utility does not have the ability to, it purchases on a fixed schedule every 6 months. So the rigid schedule is hampers their ability to get the best prices, and we are not bound by that rigid schedule, so we can do that. And we also can pool our residential demand to build buying power. So this is a slide of Candia's municipal electricity costs, and it's municipal buying power is different from community power or residential buying power, but this is showing you how Candia already benefits from using the competitive electricity markets. So the blue line is the Eversource default service rate in Candia, and the orange line is the price that the municipal buildings pay for electricity. This is a really interesting graph as well, because it shows that while we do well over time, we can't promise savings. And so you'll notice that there was a period in 2020 and 2021 where the town was paying a little bit more than the default service. So I'll just point out that the difference between the lines is the cost savings, or the, and so the amount the town is saving over time is significant. Is certainly now at 7.36 cents a kilowatt hour compared to the current 22.5 cents. It takes a lot of months of being a little bit underwater to make up for those savings, and it's just a very powerful mechanism over time. And then community power is also popular for encouraging local renewable energy. And community power programs can do this in two ways. There are established markets for renewable energy. So the product is called renewable energy credits or certificates. This is real renewable energy. We can identify the producers of it, and there's an established mechanism for retiring those renewable energy credits. So the markets are established and regulated for claiming renewable energy, but then also you can make program choices to increase renewable energy to the extent that the community or individuals have goals. And then there can be more benefits for education awareness, for consumer protections, and for energy planning. Right now, that you have two choices. You have the Eversource default service and third-party suppliers. And community power program adds a new program default. So customers that are currently on the Eversource default service, I don't know whether you can see my pointer, are eligible to be automatically enrolled in the new product default. Customers that currently use third-party supply are not eligible to be automatically enrolled. So they are welcome to join the program, but they will not be eligible for automatic enrollment in the new program default. And then a community power program can add optional products. So we always have a basic product that's the best price we can that we can get, and then one or more renewable energy products. And Andy's current plan, the draft plan, has two optional products. One's 100% renewable and the other is 50% renewable. But we'll see from their survey, we may make the recommendation to reduce that to one product. Okay, so then, so we ran a survey for Candia, and this is a snapshot of the results. I believe, or maybe I could put these slides up on the website so people could look at the results, you know, at their leisure. But the point is about the survey that we had 75 responses of a variety of age, income. Customers were 61% Eversource, still a significant New Hampshire Electric Co-op, 16%. Most of them all their own home. The town website, Facebook page, were popular communication sources. But points that we tried to get, and I hope we got a variety of things in the survey. And then the survey question about renewable energy was, basically, would you pay more for, or would you like more renewable energy in your supply? And in Candia, 51% said, I would like the lowest electricity available, whether or not it includes more renewable energy above the state minimum. So that was 38 respondents and 51% of the voters. And then the other responses were divided between 40% said they would like extra renewable energy if they can still pay about the same as they do today. Which is really quite remarkable because this survey came out right after the rates changed, or a little bit after, I guess about in the middle of the 22 cent rate. So for people to say that they're still willing to put more renewable energy in their supply and not take all the savings is really quite remarkable, actually. And then about 4% said they'd like all 100% renewable energy. As a side note, I'll say our partners' existing programs in Massachusetts, a lot of the 100% renewable energy products are now under the utility default supply rate that has, you know, substantially less renewable energy. So renewable energy isn't necessarily more expensive, but you know, it does add cost in the near term, and that is people's impression.
Can I ask you a question, Emily? If the renewable rate falls below the standard default rate, would you push people over to the renewable channel because it's cheapest, if they opt for cheapest?
So the yes, when the renewable rate falls below the utility default, the our job is to, well, we have several jobs, but one is to make the choices super clear so individuals can choose what they want. If the utility default fell below the program default, maybe that's your question, Kevin?
If conventional electrical power is X and renewable is used to be 2X, but renewable falls to 0.8x, would that become the lowest cost and would people get ported to that?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. And that's going to happen, well, it's going to happen on the supply side because renewable energy is the cheapest to supply. We just need to get some capital and get some projects going locally and get offshore wind going. But absolutely, there'll be renewable energy and price adjustments in the utility default and in the supply that we can find over the period. At this point, we're in the planning process, and so we write a plan for you that can anticipate the market opportunities and take advantage of them, both in for electrons and for renewable energy.
Okay.
So absolutely, we will absolutely use renewable energy to get the best prices we can for you. And I apologize, I can't see you, so you just need to speak up if you have a question. I'm happy to answer a question.
No problem.
So we look at the public input, and we look at the survey and talk to the committee and talk to the select board and figure out what product options. So we're recommending a default option that adds a small amount more of renewable energy. We can go the smallest amount because you had such a strong response to best price. But it makes the plan resilient in order to preserve a green default, even if it's only got 1% more renewable energy certificates upon launch, to preserve that option for future growth in that product. And then we always have a basic product, which meets the state standards for renewable energy, which you can see there is 23.4% in 2023, and it goes up to 25% in 2025 and then plateaus. So really that's really not going to meet our renewable energy goals, and so we want to preserve the ability to add more renewable energy into your program. And then one or two renewable energy options. And as I said, you had a response to the 100% renewable, so we'll have that product, but I'm not sure we need an intermediate product in Candia.
Is it?
So this is a different.
Does it add a degree of difficulty to you if there was a 50%, for instance?
It doesn't add any complexity for us. We can absolutely have it. It's just if you had a product that literally had no takers, then does that add complexity to you? But it's really fine for.
Okay.
It really is. It's a very kind of simple choice to
okay.
make one way or the other. It's not an important choice one way or the other. We're working with 12 communities, and so far they're all choosing 4 products. So maybe that's the easy way to do it. This is an example of a real program in Somerville, Massachusetts. There are no programs operating yet in New Hampshire, as you know. So there's several things going on in this chart. The blue toothy line is the Eversource Massachusetts default rate that you can see moving around and going up to 25.6 cents. And the green dotted line is the Somerville default. So as you can see, that went from 5% extra renewable energy to 10% additional, and now it's at 20% additional renewable energy over the state minimum in Massachusetts, which is about 20%. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it's about 20%. So their default product is now 40% renewable. And as you can see on the right-hand side of the graph, their 40% renewable product is at 15.7 cents compared to 25 cents. They're saving basically 10 cents a kilowatt hour just by having a program. So this is where it's this table, this chart, and the chart about the Candia's municipal savings that we need to get in front of people who are skeptical about the opt-out option or aspect of the program, because you know, they can opt out. Anyone can opt out to the utility default if they want to, but there's really such a compelling argument, and especially when the prices are high, the cost savings will be substantial. So when we launch, and we won't launch if they're not substantial. So so I'm not concerned about. We just need to keep getting the information out there to people about why these programs have such sort of consistent and stable performance. Even as we can't promise future savings, we can demonstrate historical performance. And then the brown line there, the orange line, is the basics. So that shows you really the difference between the cost of a no additional renewable energy basic product and then the default. So the 5% default, you can almost not see the difference. And then the 10% is a little bit. And now at 20%, it adds a little bit more. So those are choices that this group will make for the launch, you know, for the plan and for an intention for the plan. So then I just added this chart to, or this slide to make sure checked all the boxes. So there's no cost to customers to opt out of the program or to join the program or to change products. And on their own initiative, you can go in and out of the program if you want to. There are choices for renewable energy or no additional renewable energy. Low-income customers keep their full benefits. So the benefit for low-income customers is calculated independent of the community power laws. And they can keep their entire benefit, plus they get the rates in the program. Net metering customers, we're just saying they'll do as well or better than the current tariff. There's some complexity about if you produce more than you consume. The programs really are designed to get deep savings for regular customers, and then we'll encourage net metering customers to participate in the in the program, and perhaps we can purchase their renewable energy certificates, or maybe at some point in time we could purchase their power because they produce locally. But those are things that are flexible in your plan, but your plan doesn't imagine them in the next, you know, in the first launch period. And then opportunity to work on other local initiatives. So we talked about a community power fund that could it could be funded through the program through a, you know, a mill per kilowatt hour, some fee in the eventually in the program, or it could be there are other mechanisms for funding it. But the point is, you can attract you can attract local investment. You can attract grant money to put toward energy projects in town, like energy efficiency or renewable energy. And community power is a great way to raise awareness about and have conversations about energy topics that are in addition to saving money on the your default supply. And of course, you know, most important is there's no cost to the municipal budget. There's no cost to taxpayers. So the timeline, so we're in the period of drafting the community power plan with public input. Then you'll ask the voters to vote on the community power plan. But after that, what happens? We submit the plan to the Public Utility Commission. They have 60 days to review it, and then we can ask the utility for your customer data and start to go to suppliers for and to get bid prices. So we run an intense outreach campaign so that everybody in town knows about the program. And when at the point of launch, everyone will receive in the mail information that has exact rates and instructions about if you do nothing, if you're an eligible customer, if you do nothing, this is what will happen. And here are your choices. If you are not an eligible customer, if you're already on competitive supply, it will say this program is happening, but you're not eligible. But you can opt in, but be careful of, you know, exit fees from your competitive supply. So that all happens all before launch. And I can answer more questions about that. And then we do ongoing customer support. And, you know, opt-up campaigns. We'll, you know, we look at other goals of the town and the committee.
Emily? So we're at point four there on that slide. So it's going to go to the town. There'll be a deliberative session where we can be there and answer questions about this and make a pitch for it. But when it goes to the voters, if they say yes, we just tell you that it was approved, and submitting the plan to the PUC is part of your service, right?
Yep.
Okay.
We just keep going until you tell us to stop. So we will submit it. We are committed to taking you all the way through the planning process. We really... our traditional business is we don't sign a contract with the town ever in this process. The town signs a contract with the electric supplier that they choose.
Okay.
If you go to bid with a group of towns, then I believe we're going to, at least upon launch, you'll all have to choose the same supplier. So that would be one thing you'd have to kind of agree on, or you not join the group. You choose at some point in time that you weren't going to be part of that group, but you sign a contract with them. So we work under, we just try and keep, you know, giving you good service. And but at some point, if you have to run we run a competitive process for supplier, but some towns say they have to run a competitive process before that, and you know, we just participate in those things and do our best to keep your business.
Okay.
Emily, I have a question. Where or at what point in that do you get us options on, because ultimately we have to make a decision on a contract length, price, whatever it might be, at what point do you give us options for what we're going to ultimately choose, and how many options are there?
So I have been through to this point and through the public utility process a number of times now, but I haven't been part of the procurement process. So I'm going to be learning along with the towns. My understanding is that we write an electric services agreement. Basically, we draft a document, but once it's settled, it is the document that the suppliers will sign that everybody will sign if, and in the electric services agreement, it says all of the parameters. So I think that, you get to look at you can look at everything you want to, but I think the way the standard process goes is that we will show you the matrix of suppliers and terms, and it's a matrix of options, but there will be clear, we'll say these are the options, this is what you should choose for these reasons. So you'll get to see what we're not recommending, but I think we really do, that is part of our services. It's not like a candy store, like you're not picking things out. If you want to go, that it might be more flexible if candy just goes out on your own. So that may be something where you could just sort of sit at a table and figure it all out.
So am I right in the thinking that at some point in the process, it's going to be, this is your rate for a one-year contract, this is your rate for a two-year contract, this is your, am I thinking about that right?
Yeah, I believe you'll see those, but then we'll say, and so we recommend a 26-month contract.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry for the long, and I will, we'll get Bob back to describe that process, because that's a really important thing to understand.
And just out of curiosity, do you know where, and you might have just said it and I missed it, do you know where in that timeline that falls?
It falls...
Is it like a number six, or right before number six sort of a thing?
Yes, so the public education... So once we get rates, sign the ESA, then everything happens really fast. In like 30 days, because we don't want the... We don't want a too long window for the supplier, because they'll add costs for that. If we say, we need 2 months to get all of the customers enrolled, then they'll say, okay, that's another cost to you. So we do things very quickly. We send it out to the bids. We get all the bids back. We evaluate them. Then we sign a contract. And then, so that's about 30 days before the launch. So procuring electricity supply. We can take a few weeks to look at, to have a look at it, but then once we decide on the rates and see them, then it happens really fast.
Okay, so that would actually happen before we submit the plan, or after we submit the plan to the PUC?
No, it's after.
Okay,
it's after.
Gotcha.
We need the full approval to get the data.
Okay, thank you.
So there's no reason to have Bob explain this until after the town meeting and we get approval.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Yeah.
It'd be like a step 5.5,
right?
5A.
I was thinking the same thing.
I think procure electricity supply is probably the most complex one of the, and so they just sort of gave up and made it a short section. But.
All right.
So that's my last slide. I think I just have...
Emily, may I ask a question? So you said the community signs the contract with the supplier. Are we guaranteeing the supplier that we're going to buy X amount of kilowatts?
No.
The supplier takes all of the supply risk. So they take, we get quality data from the utility, we get precise data from the utility, and we give it to the supplier, and they give us prices. They don't, and if everybody in the program leaves the program except one person, that one person still gets that price for the contract period. Our partner right now in Good Energy, it has programs in National Grid territory in Massachusetts where the default is 34 cents, 33.8 cents, something like that, and their program costs are between 10 and 12 cents. And that supplier is still honoring those contracts. They're squeaking a little bit about adding new customers because the rates are so good, but we work with suppliers who write contracts and then they take all of the risk.
Beth, when's town meeting?
So the town isn't, the town signs the contract, it's an intentional contract. And I believe there's something in the contract too about not doing campaigns to like get out of the program. If the utility default went below the program default for 6 months, I think we asked the committee not to do that or the town not to kind of advertise that. But it might even be in the electric services agreement that they don't, it's called a punch out, and they just leave the program alone. Individuals can come and go if they want to, but the town doesn't take a position on it so that they don't cause, additional migration, which, adds cost to the,
Mm-hmm.
We want to be a good customer for the suppliers and the utilities as well. Like, we're building a team here to get you great rates, and part of that is trust and risk, and so we, that's all of, we're building new programs in New Hampshire also, but we'll build some good groups and some good relationships to get, the residents great rates here.
Thank you.
I know it's in February. I'm looking under the town hall news and I'm not finding it.
What are you looking for?
When the town meeting, the deliberative session is.
Oh, deliberative, is that the 9th or the 12th?
Of February?
Something like that.
I don't have it in my
calendar. It's a Saturday, right?
It's usually a Saturday.
So let's see, 11th or the 18th? So the 4th,
or
11th, 18th?
Somehow I have 5th in my head, but that's a Sunday, so I don't know.
It's the 4th.
It's okay. The 4th. We're in Foxwoods.
Yeah, at 9 o'clock.
We can go to Foxwoods. Oh, no, we're in Foxwoods.
Go to Foxwoods. I would.
We were just chatting about our schedule internally at town. The deliberative session is Saturday the 4th, where we will be answering questions if the public has them about this program. Voting day is the second Tuesday of March, so that'll be the 14th.
Sounds about right.
Wow.
So, thank you, Emily, for that update.
Yes. Very good.
Would it be appropriate to close the public hearing portion of the meeting?
I move to close the public meeting at 7:12.
Second. Someone cutting up the tree.
It's them over there, and I don't know why.
Oh, they're blowing the snow off.
Oh, the snow off? What, the roof?
No, they're across the street.
Yeah, ice, I think.
Oh,
maybe not.
Seems a little. All
right, so the public.
Oh, are they doing their ice training?
Yeah, we don't run that ice, but nonetheless, yeah.
That must be what they're doing.
The public hearing set. Portion of the meeting has closed at 7:12. So, other business. The warrant article was approved by the Board of Selectmen 3-2. Apparently, the two were concerned about the opt out portion of the program. They think people should be opting in, and they're concerned that a number of people in town won't know that their supplier has changed.
But if it's cheaper, it's not going to matter. Well, they're going to be happy.
That's the Board of Selectmen's alleged concern, although when we presented to them, they were all, wow, that's a great program. So something changed.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I
understand.
Yeah.
We're New Englanders. People want to make their own choices. I get that. But
and they can make their own choice. They just have to fill out that little piece of paper or postcard or whatever they get in the mail.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or they have to call.
Every person will be getting something in the mail.
That's right. What she said.
But whether or not they look at it and recognize what it is.
Well, what we'll do
that's,
is
that's
we'll
education
post.
On our...
Well, I'll just keep posting. You're going to get something in the mail. Please. It is not a scam. Check it out.
So there was a public hearing. The first of the two required public hearings was held on December 22nd in conjunction with the Recycling and Energy Committee. They were very pleased with the project as it stands. So that was nice. We are finalizing the Emily, you're going to send us the finalized draft, which it would be good for all of us to review. And if there's any deep concerns, let us know. But I don't think there will be. Now, there's one outstanding issue, Emily, regarding New Hampshire Co-op and how it's going to be handled. And I know that you were going to be addressing that with Ryan Paulson. I don't know if you had a chance to do that or not.
We have no update. It's Bob is the one who's in contact with the co-op. I think Brian's name came up. He's actually a co-op customer as
okay.
well. So we have but they haven't made progress. The co-op just, we're not far enough in the process with the town, with the New Hampshire co-op town. So you're not the only co-op town that we're working with, but you're all at the same place where we haven't asked for customer data yet. We haven't interacted with them. We've heard them in at the PUC and also in personal conversations saying they're not opposed to community power. I think your Eversource customers are likely going to see bigger savings than the co-op customers, but that's, you know, I guess the co-op had pretty good rates.
My concern is our slides say that it's open to everyone, and your slides also say that it's going to happen really fast once, if things get approved as we expect they will, and pricing goes out and gets negotiated, it's going to happen really fast. So what happens if we respond quickly and co-op doesn't? How does that work?
We're in uncharted territory. I'm in uncharted territory.
Okay.
The way we work, we go out and get the best prices we can and then offer them to the town, and then the town will say go, and then we'll tell all the eligible customers that they're going to be enrolled. Automatically enrolled unless they opt out. We've never launched when the prices were higher than the utility default. So I suppose that gives us a ceiling of the New Hampshire Electric Co-op rates, even for the Eversource people. But there's other, so the co-op customers though are just another sort of special class of customer. We have the low-income customers, we have net metering customers, and we have the co-op customers now where they have different options. They have better options, but it's not a reason to vote against the program because you're a co-op customer. Like your neighbors who have Eversource really are begging you to do, you know, or not begging you, but will
right,
really
but,
benefit. And so
but if it's
in
a-
some ways you can vote for the program for them.
Aside from voting, though, if it's approved and we say it's a flip a switch everyone's opted in. We can't opt in co-op people unless co-op cooperates with us and transfers data, and we can't opt in people if they're going to a higher rate.
Right.
So
absolutely. We're not opting people into a higher rate ever.
Right. So the co-op people won't get a notice in the mail if they aren't eligible, if co-op doesn't cooperate. Right?
Will that stop us from watching?
That's a great point, because yes, there are two, you know, there's eligible customers and everybody else. And the everybody else is everybody in your geographic, you know, boundaries that has a meter, that has a, they're all the electric customers. So I think that's a possible scenario where the co-op customers could be in a position where they're not eligible for automatic enrollment.
Okay. But you're working on that.
Working on it, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll ask Bob again if he's been traveling this week. I do mention it periodically, because as I said, you're not the only town, so I do hear this pretty much once a week now about, you know, people want to know, but we just don't have an update yet.
I think your slide said that 16% of Candia consumers were co-op.
No, Eversource. 61%.
No, 60. I thought it was 16% that was co-op?
It was
40. No, co-op's not that big.
16% co-op.
Okay.
16. And 61% Eversource.
That's okay. Not 100%. What's the other percent?
Oh, 21% said other. Oh, that would be competitive supply, which is quite a lot. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, 16%. It's not a lot.
Right. Okay.
And that might be the answer, honestly. I think that's very possibly the answer, is that they don't. And, you know, I'll talk with Bob about that tomorrow, because maybe that's the answer also to reduce friction with it, you know, like to... that if people are concerned that they have the co-op rate of, isn't it like 13 or 14 cents or something right now?
Don't know.
I think the co-op has a good rate. And so they may, you know, they may be afraid that they'd be opted into something that was higher, but that's not, we don't want to opt people into higher rates. It's not what we do.
So then they wouldn't be eligible anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then they'd be not eligible for automatic enrollment, but they could still opt in. They could still opt in.
That would be crazy.
Right. Unless they wanted to get a higher rate of renewables.
Yeah, the 100, yeah, right.
Or we beat their rate. I mean, our intention is to beat the co-op's rate.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, then they wouldn't be crazy.
I hope you can.
Yeah.
Right.
I hope you can as well.
Because
it would benefit us if we could go better than 13%. That would benefit us.
So I have not been able to find out what the timing of the Boy Scout hand out.
Those usually go out, is it before the deliberative?
Yes, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like the deliberative is early this year. I feel like it's usually a couple of weeks before.
No.
Okay.
Sue Hall. Yeah, call Sue Hall.
I don't know her, but...
She's on Facebook. You could messenger her.
She's a Boy Scout coordinator.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, and she did it last year, or was involved with it last year. And it's SU. SU Hall. Sue, not SUE.
Oh.
So if you're looking her up.
Okay. I think my wife knows her somehow. All right. So I have an action again to contact them and get timing information for when we need to have things ready to go. What you had submitted to me, Emily, with a description would be a good start for that. How detailed do we want to get in the handout that goes out in the information packet delivered by the Boy Scouts? It's a couple $100.
It's 180 something last year.
And then per side, I think, or is it?
Who pays for that? Because we don't have a budget.
Right. I believe Standard Power said that they would pay for that.
Yeah, we said we would take care of that. And yeah, perhaps, did you mean the two paragraphs that went along with the warrant article?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a good amount of detail, if you agree. And then if we have more space, we can put like a picture or something.
Okay.
You do.
If you want a second side, I'll think about that. Let me know.
It's 8.5 by 11. You can use both sides.
Right. Okay. So we could add a huge amount of detail if we wanted to. Some people will read it, some people won't. So is bigger font, less words, more color, something that's...
Those that don't have Facebook, look at those.
Right.
Because that's how they get their information.
Maybe on the front side, I'll just do a large font with the two paragraphs. Because they're pretty comprehensive. Like, I think that's a nice amount of information.
Right.
And then on the back...
Maybe a graph.
I'll think of something, whether we do... Pardon?
Maybe a graph. One of your slideshow graphs.
For instance, slides. Somerville
okay,
and Candia.
Yeah. I could do the Candia Municipal Savings and the...
Yeah.
Well, do you think a program in another town would be appropriate for that, though?
No.
Plus, the savings look like a lot on that, and... Setting the bar high for ourselves.
We are setting the bar high. I was thinking like how you have the survey.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
the
yeah.
survey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. On
because
the top,
a lot of the people...
On the top half and the graph on the bottom half. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the survey. And I'd like to put the survey results up on the community awareness group too. Because people did do it from there.
Right.
I just messaged Sue to find out when.
Oh, okay.
And when the deadline is to forget information.
Right.
I could have done that too.
Listen, beat you to it.
Well, I was waiting for the chair to tell one of us what to do.
I work for the state of Massachusetts. You have to make those decisions on your own all the time.
We're going to post this community power plan on the Community Power website. And also on your Facebook.
Awareness group.
All right.
And we should also post the survey results. In a different post, not the same post.
Right. But that goes into the Community Power folder inside the town website. So unless people are really looking for it, they're not going to see it.
But if we just post the results...
We might be able to get them on the front page. Get them on the front page?
I'm saying on the community awareness group.
Oh, I was seeing.
That's the only thing I ever talk about.
Okay. All right.
The awareness group is what I'm saying. We post the results on there.
So, the slides that you just presented.
Right.
Are posted on the website here.
Okay, so I can just steal it from there.
I can email them to you as well.
I can steal it from there then.
Okay. All right.
I'll just steal it.
All right.
I'm a thief.
Any other business that we need to review? Emily, what else do we have?
She's frozen.
Am I frozen?
You've unfrozen.
You are now unfrozen, yes.
Okay. No, I think posting the draft plan is, and the Boy Scout getting the deadline, because I suspect that's going to be right away. The committee is still part of the public. If you see something in the plan after you post it publicly, we can still make those changes. So don't, you know, but otherwise, yeah, I think just...
There are those that will read it and will, like, decipher...
Dissect it.
Dissect it, yeah. So that would be a good...
Okay.
Good thing for people to look at.
And Emily, you're going to forward the latest version of it, correct?
Yes, I'm gonna give you a clean copy of the latest version.
Great.
And what I'm sitting here not remembering is if I have the attachment ready for the survey results, because that does, I've been attaching those to plans as well. If they're not ready, I'm going to send it to you without, but I'll do that promptly. I'm not going to hold it up. But,
okay.
But if they are ready, it will be. I just do a little write-up, you know, some charts and a little bit of narrative, so...
All right.
Those are the things on the list.
Any other business?
When it gets to the point where we have that matrix in front of us, and it's the meeting where we're deciding which rate to go with,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine we'll all look at the matrix, discuss it, and someone will make a motion to go with X, and we'll vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that's probably how it'll happen.
I believe you're correct.
And on the rare chance of a tie, we flip a coin. Maybe the chair gets like a vote and a half.
I don't think so.
I don't think that's legal.
We will cross that bridge if we get to it.
I doubt that'll happen. But
we'll have 13 votes on who gets to be the Speaker of the House.
I hear you, man.
13 out of how many?
And we'll negotiate. And there'll be a secret list. If we are done with our work here today, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn at 7:30 p.m.
I'll second that.
And I think we were supposed to vote on that last motion as well, but you can just say we're all in favor of it.
To vote
roll
on
call
the
vote.
Motion?
The motion to adjourn and then the motion before earlier. We never actually voted on it, but
you're
okay,
right.
I think we can go with a unanimous.
To so get out of the
I will
public
vote,
meeting.
I will vote that we adjourn per the motion.
I vote yes.
Yes.
Right.
Next meeting's February 9th.